So we just saw and we understand, we know that loneliness is a real thing, right? Many of us know Frances, many of us love Frances, and she shared her story with us, and she's still in the midst of her story. And while the circumstances that surround loneliness might be different for each and every one of us, I think that at some level we all understood a little bit about what she's going through. And if you feel that way now, if you feel alone now, if you feel lonely now because of the circumstances that are in your life, I just want to encourage you this morning and remind you that you are not alone in your loneliness. There's a lot of other people that feel the same way right now. There's a lot of people that have felt that way before. And so this morning, that if we get into this, let me just say too that if that's not you, right, if you're not battling loneliness, if that's never been a thing for you, I can assure you that you know people that are battling loneliness. So wherever we find ourselves this morning, as we go to God's Word, my prayer is that we would be equipped, that we'd be encouraged, and that we would respond to what God's Word has to say about loneliness, because it is a growing thing in our country. It's a growing thing in our world, so much so that in the month of February, the country of Japan added a new top-level cabinet position called the Minister of Loneliness. And this person's job is to help people in the nation of Japan that feel lonely, that feel isolated, that feel like they're doing their whole life together. And so you read that and you think, why would they do that? Right? Why would the government get involved in this? Why would they appoint these top-level people to help people that feel isolated? It's because they realize that loneliness, that isolation is a growing problem. I don't need to get into everything that happened over the course of this past year. You guys know it. You have your examples of it. You have your stories of people that were lonely, of times when you were lonely in this past year. But what I do want to share with you is this, just this reminder that loneliness, it's not a good thing for us. If you get on WebMD or any other medical website, they'll tell you that the side effects of loneliness are real. And they're serious. There's physical side effects. There's mental side effects. There's emotional problems that are caused by loneliness. Why? Because we were designed for relationships. We were designed to not be alone. And even if you wouldn't throw up your hand and say, hey, listen, I'm a people person, you understand that you need friendships, that you need relationships, that you need people that care about you. It's just how God made you. Right, and we're going to see that this morning in God's Word. So if you've got a Bible, I want you to open to the very beginning. Right, go all the way to the front to Genesis chapter 1. And as we look in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to see how in the beginning God created everything. We're going to see God's design. We're going to see His imagination. We're going to see His creativity, His very words, speaking things into existence that had never existed before. And then in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, we see God create something different than everything else. We see the pinnacle of God's creation, right? His final act in creation. It's where God created man. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is what God's Word says. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Look at verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And if you read the entire creation account, all of Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that nothing else was created in this way. Right, that nothing else was made, created, or formed in the image of God. And here's what that means. This isn't just Adam and Eve. This is you and this is me created in that way, in his likeness. When you look into a mirror, what do you see? You see your likeness. The Bible's telling us here that in that same way, when we look at people, the people that God created, we are seeing the very image of God. So as we talk about loneliness, what we need to understand that this is a big deal. The way God made us matters. Because in these same verses, look back at verse 26, we see that this God that created us in his image has never, in fact, been alone. Look at verse 26. It says, then God said, let us, that's a plural statement. Right, and indicating there's more than one there. Let us make man in our, plural again, image after our likeness. What we see in starting at the very beginning of the Bible, that God has always been in perfect relationship with himself. And throughout the Bible, as we read, as we go, we see God the Father, we see Jesus, God the Son, and we see the Holy Spirit, right? Well, we need to understand that we're not here, that people don't exist because God was lonely, right? God has always been in relationship. And since you and I are made in His image and His likeness, we need to know and understand that we were designed, we were made to function in the midst of those kind of relationships, right? It is the very core of how you were put together, right? It is at the very core of how God pieced each one of us together in His image. We were made to know Him, and we were made to know one another. And so if you've still got your Bible open, look at Genesis 2, right? The way that God designed us is why we run into the first problem we see in Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 18. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. So I'm going to make a helper fit for him.'" Right? Genesis chapter 1, it's God made this and it was good. God made this and it was good. God made this and it was good. God made this and it was very good. The first time we see something not good, God's talking about loneliness right here. And as we think about that and about what that means, I love the way that Tim Keller frames this idea of being made in the image of God when we think about loneliness or man being alone. Listen to what he says here. He writes, "Adam was lonely because he was like God. And therefore, since he was like God, he had to have someone to love, someone to work with, someone to talk to, someone to share with." Listen to this. "All of our other problems, our anger, our anxiety, our fear, our cowardice arise out of our sin and imperfections. But loneliness is the one problem you have because you're made in the image of God." Right? It's how God works in relationship. When we open our Bible and flip through the pages that we've got here, all the pages of the Word of God point us to relationship. They point us to relationship with God Himself. We were made to know Him, and as we live in relationship with Him, we can have right relationships with the people around us that God has placed in our lives. Think about Jesus in Matthew chapter 22 as He's there, as He's teaching. He's approached by people in the crowds, and they say, "Jesus, what is the number one thing I've got to get right in this life? Right? What is the thing that matters for me? What is the one command that I cannot mess up?" What does Jesus say? You might remember. He says, "Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength." He points people directly to a relationship with God, but He doesn't stop. He says, the second is like us. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying, love people. That is a relationship. Guys, we were designed to be connected. I want you to think about Legos for just a minute, right? That they make all different kinds of Legos, different shapes, different colors, different sizes. They make Legos that belong to all different kinds of sets, some little sets, some cheap sets, some expensive sets. If you go to the Lego store in the Woodlands Mall, be prepared to pay a lot of money, right? Legos are very, very valuable things now, but here's the thing, right? Legos only make sense when they're together. Right, you can't go and just buy one Lego, because a Lego sitting over here by itself, it's not doing what it's designed to do. It's not contributing to anything. It's not building anything. It's not holding anything up. It doesn't have anything supporting it or holding it up. It just alone, right? When it was designed to be together. And oftentimes the one Lego you find by itself, you find on accident, right? All right, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever walked through your kid's room barefoot in the middle of the night with the lights out, you know there's no pain like the pain of stepping on that Lego that's living there in isolation. Listen, we need to understand something, guys. Isolation is dangerous with Legos and people, right? Being alone, and it's not a healthy thing. Why? Because it's not the way that God designed us. As people that are made in the image of God, we need to grasp this concept. We need to understand how important it is for us to be connected. And my prayer is that we see that this morning in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, because unfortunately, more and more people feel like this, right? That they live their lives each and every day in isolation. They live their lives disconnected from relationship, disconnected from people. A Cigna health poll that was done just before COVID hit our world and in the United States and people sort of locked down indicated that half of Americans feel lonely on a regular basis. In 2019, the Health Resources and Services Administration indicated that 43% of our senior adults feel lonely all of the time. It's pre-COVID, right? Imagine how they feel right now. The same study showed that 68% of young adults, this is the phrase, would say no one really knows them. They're doing life alone, right? They feel isolated and disconnected from other people, and that's not how we were designed. So with the time that we've got left, we're going to look at three things that God calls us to in His Word, three things that if we're committed to living out in our lives, it's going to help us deal with our loneliness. But not just three things that are going to help us, three things that I'm really praying are going to equip all of us to help the people in our lives deal with their loneliness as well as we speak the truth to them in love, because I'm guessing that each and every one of us, right, that we know people that are lonely this morning. We know people that aren't here this morning. They're living in isolation today. And I'm just thankful that as we turn to the Bible, we have answers to battle that loneliness in our life. And the first answer is this. If you're taking notes, it's a very simple thing, and I'm going to explain what I mean here. But the first thing is this. To battle loneliness in our lives, number one, walk with God, right? Walk with God. When a person steps into a relationship with God, listen, things change for them. Right? If you're a Christian, if you've stepped into a relationship with God, you know that, right? You've experienced it, you understand it. And so as we read the Bible, one of the things that brings me more hope, more joy, more peace, more comfort than anything else is the message that Jesus gives to His followers right at the end of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus says this, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." The promise that you and I have of God is this. Those of us that are in a relationship with Him are never alone, right? Jesus says that He's always with us. Even in the moments where we feel disconnected from other people, we can remind ourselves because of the promise of God that Jesus is there. And as we remind ourselves of that, guys, it is so important that we actually walk with Him. I want you to listen to this for a second. It is not access to Jesus that's going to solve loneliness that you might feel in your life or in your heart, right? It is actually plugging into that access. It's walking with Jesus on a consistent and regular basis. I mean, think about it. There's a gym right down the street here at Kirkendall and Spring Steubner, and if I signed up there, I would have access to some of the best facilities anywhere to accomplish any physical goal that I want, right? It would all be there at my fingertips, but as we all know, signing up for a gym, it does not change anything in a person's life, right? If you sign up and you don't show up, it would be crazy to expect anything to change, right? At some point, you've actually got to engage. At some point, you've got to plug in. At some point, you have to show up to what you have access to. And the exact same thing is true in our walks with Jesus, right? When we trust Him as our Savior, we step into a relationship with Him. We are made His children in that very moment. John 1:12, right? To all who believe, He gives the right to become children of God. We have access to Him. But it's not that access that's going to make us feel His presence. It's not that access that's going to solve loneliness. It's actually walking with God. It's plugging into that relationship we have. It's living a life where you're constantly connected to God. So let me just encourage you this morning to walk with God. And if you're thinking, okay, I'm in. What does that look like? How do I do that? Let me give you a few thoughts. Right, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, but I would say if you are walking with God, you are doing these things on a regular basis, moving in the right direction, and you will feel the presence of God in your life on a regular basis. And the first thing is this, if you're going to walk with God, you have to talk with God, right? That's called prayer, right? You have to be in communication with God, spending time in prayer with Him, talking to God about what's going on in your life. I mean, think about what happens when you communicate with someone. Right? When you talk to someone, your relationship with them grows. When you talk to someone, you find out more about them. When you talk with someone, your heart is knit together. The relationship grows, trust grows, confidence grows. All of that thing happens in a relationship with a person. The same is true in a relationship with God. So if you're going to walk with God, you need to talk with God. The second thing is this: if you're going to walk with God, simply learn from God. Right? That's spending time reading the Bible, right? Make it a priority. We have access to the very words of God here. But we all know that access is not the same as engagement, right? Get in the Word, and as you do, you'll learn about the heart of God. You'll learn about the commands of God. You'll learn about the promises of God. You'll see the way that God has called us to live, and you'll be encouraged as you get to know Him more through His Word. And then finally, if you're going to walk with God, obey God, right? As He speaks to you through prayer, as He speaks to you through His Word, just simply walk in obedience to Him. And as you do, I promise you, your relationship with Him will grow unlike anything that you have ever experienced, right? Walk with God. And when you do, and I'm telling you that you will never feel alone. Right? When I think about loneliness, when I think about isolation, I can't help but think about that movie, right? Castaway, you might have seen it. Tom Hanks ends up on that island, and he begins to lose his mind. Right, he begins to go crazy being there by himself for so long, so much so that he becomes friends with a volleyball, right? Gives the volleyball a name, Wilson, and begins to talk with him on a regular basis. Why did he do that? Because he felt, he thought, he was all alone. Or as we see in God's Word this morning, as Christians, right, followers of Jesus, we are never alone. Right, even if sometimes you feel like you're out there on an island, God promises you that He is with you. So this morning, engage Him, commit to walking with Him, and know that because of Jesus, you never will be alone. And the second thing that we can do this morning to battle loneliness in our lives and in the lives of those around us is this: recite the promises of God, or remember the promises of God. Because we all have our moments, right, where we feel like we're alone. Sometimes we're even surrounded by people in a big room like this. We can look around, not see any faces that we connect with, and it's possible, even in the midst of hundreds of people, to feel lonely. It's in those moments that it is so important to remember the promises of God, to allow His promises to bring comfort and peace and joy to our souls. And this morning, I just want to read a couple of them over you. These are promises that God has made to His children. So this morning, just let these wash over you. Be encouraged. Be thankful that God has made these promises, because we can know and trust that God is going to keep the promises that He's made to His children. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, God makes this promise. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will not leave you, and He will not forsake you." Psalm 23:4 says this: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God promises us in Isaiah chapter 41, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And in Romans chapter 30, or chapter 8, verse 39, it says that nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, if you struggle with loneliness, if you know people that live in isolation, type these out, take a screenshot of verses like these on your phone and memorize them, right? Commit them to your minds, commit them to your heart, think on them often, and as you battle, struggle with those thoughts of loneliness in your life, run back to the promises that are there in God's Word, right? The Word of God is powerful. Let it penetrate your hearts. This past Wednesday night, I taught our first through fifth graders in WOW. And I was the one in charge of the Bible story, and it's a lot of fun every time Allie lets me do that with our elementary school kids on a Wednesday night. And this past week, I gave them homework, right? In addition to their school homework, I said, "All right, guys, go home and memorize this verse," right? I wanted them to begin to commit the Word of God to their heart. Now, with little kids, I use bribery unashamedly, right? And I said, "If you guys show up with that memorized on Sunday morning, I will have king-sized candy bars ready for you." I didn't tell their parents that, so hopefully everything goes okay. But listen, Right? A lot of them have found me already. They caught me in the lobby this morning. They caught me out front of the building, but before things got rolling, and they recited the word of God back to me. They memorized it. It is deep down in their hearts. One of the dads said, I'm going to memorize it and come back next week. Will you give me candy too? And the answer was no, right? You should just do it, right? Set the example, right? And so I just want to encourage you with the word of God. Let's follow the example of some of our youngest members here at North Cline. Put it in our hearts, and as we encounter those seasons of loneliness, the seasons of doubt, those seasons where we feel like it's us by ourselves out there on an island, we can recall the word of God, and it's going to give us strength and hope. And then finally, the third thing is this. As we battle loneliness, we must run to the people of God, right? We have to be connected to one another. When we go back to Genesis 1 and 2, we see there's two kinds of relationships that are in there. We see this vertical relationship that Adam and Eve had with God, right? They were designed, they were created to know God. But even in the midst of that relationship, we saw God say it's not good to be alone. And so God created us to know people as well. Listen, that is a known fact that we need to be with people. We've got to run to the people of God. We've seen doctors and nurses work incredibly hard over the course of this past year to love people, to take care of people, to help people with medicine and all other kinds of things. And in one instance, right, probably in a lot of instances, but one specific that I want to talk about, we see that they know that part of this healing process, part of the things that are good for us is to be connected to other people. There's this nurse in Brazil that was working with an elderly patient. Right, a man that was by himself, and he couldn't have family come in, he couldn't have friends come in, he couldn't have anybody sit with him. But she knew that one of the things he needed in his life because of the way that God designed him was the presence of other people. Look at this picture. This nurse took these gloves, she filled it with warm water, she tied it together, and she put it around this guy's hands because he was struggling in isolation by himself. She knew that he needed to be with other people, right? Doctors know we need people. Nurses know we need people. The Bible tells us that we need people, that we need friends. And here's the thing, we don't just need friends, we need godly friends. If your Bible's still open, look in Acts chapter 2 as we wrap up. In Acts chapter 2, that the early church is forming, and we see the people of God for the first time as believers in the New Testament coming together in this spectacular way, and they were all about one another, right? They're connected to one another, doing life with one another, and whatever they faced it together. Verse 44 of Acts 2 says, and all who believed, that's the people of God, that's Christians, that would be us, right? If we believed, it says they were all together and they had all things in common. And as we read from that point forward in the church, all the way to the end of the Bible and Revelation, we cannot find one example of a believer or of a family that lived life in isolation, right? That did life by themselves, right? It's quite the opposite. The people of God are wrapped up in relationships with one another, with other people that love Jesus. And that has to be our pattern, right? We have to wrap up our lives with the lives of other people that love God as well. And here's the thing, right? People that struggle with loneliness, you might be able to identify with this. It's a weird cycle, right? Sometimes when you feel alone, all you want to do is to be alone, right? You don't want to get out there. You don't want to plug in with other people. But I'm just telling you this morning that God's word calls us to something more. It calls us to something better. God said, Genesis 2, verse 18, it's not good for man to be alone. We're designed to be together. When you walk into our campus here, in the front doors, on the wall, in real big letters, it says, welcome home. And that's intentional. Right? We connect with people in a home. We build relationships with people in a home. A family grows in a home. We do life together in our homes. And that's the goal here. Right, that as we pursue Jesus, as we learn, as we grow, as we go in a relationship with him, is that we would do it with people around us. Right, that the people in this room, week in and week out, that they are not strangers. Right, that they are family because of our relationship with God. And so a question is, how do we go from seeing somebody every now and then in a building to actually feeling like a family? And listen, there's a lot of ways to do it, but let me just tell you the model and the way that we have set up in our church is through life groups, right? Chelsea and I, if you talk to us, we'll tell you, right, that we've been lonely in church before, right? There's been times where we have looked around and wished, man, we wish we had some friends in here. We wish we had some people that we could connect with, the people that we could do life with. We spent so many years in student ministry working with students that we would look around and realize we're 30 years old and all of our friends are either 15 or 50, right? They're the high schoolers that serve in the ministry or the volunteers and the parents that help out in the ministry. That's where all our time was at, right? But as that season of our lives ended, Chelsea got into a life group. Right, she connected with people, and it has been such an amazing change and transformation in our life to get to know people on a different level. I've got a picture of part of our group here that they'll put on the screen. These are close friends, right? These are dear friends in our lives, people that pray for us, people that pray with us, that pray for our kids, that invest in our family. They're people that we turn to when we're struggling, when we're lonely, people that have our backs, that help us in and through every single season of life. This picture, what was taken over New Year's, we hadn't even known these people for a year. Yeah, but God knit our hearts together in an incredible way. And now that we're here at North Klein, we've done the same thing, right? We've plugged into a life group because of the difference that it has made in our lives as we have run to the people of God, as we have sought to live in relationship with other people. And let me just say that those kind of relationships, they don't just happen. You have to be intentional. Right? You have to run to it. You have to work for it. You have to get involved in other people's lives, lunches, dinners, friends, prayers, texts, all of that, right? As we plug in to one another. It matters because we see in God's word, we're designed for it. So this morning, this last point, run to the people of God. Let me encourage you to be intentional and get connected. If you're not connected to other believers here, go to the welcome desk right after this and say, I need a life group. Plug me in. Help me find one. And they'll find one that's perfect for you and for your family. And let me just say that if you are in a life group, if you have that kind of community, if you know people, if you're building those kind of relationships, help other people find it too. Reach out and invite them in and help them to connect, because we all know people that are lonely. People that are lonely in this room, people that are lonely at home, whose entire lives would be changed if some of us in the room would simply reach out and be a friend and help them connect as well. All right, so let's run to the people of God. None of us should be doing this alone. None of us should be walking through life alone. God made us in His image to be connected to Him and to be connected to people.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.